Crude oil is crude. Natural gas is pure. That's why Pennzoil's base oil is made from natural gas, not crude. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Robontoni. ABC is planning a spinoff of The Bachelor for senior citizens.
And Tony Kornheiser, you know what happens in the fantasy suite?
No, what?
Napping.
Together?
Good. Who cares? Huh? As long as you can find a place to sleep and take a nap, a good nap, an hour and a quarter.
That show's not going to stay on long. A blankie is a sponsor? What are you talking about?
That show in assisted living, that's going to do unbelievable shares because people want to nap.
These baby boomer times, there's lots of that.
I want to nap. Should have a pin that says I want to nap. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, Joe Burrow may be fine with the Bengals. Cam Newton could keep his job, and Luis Severino will definitely miss this season. But we begin today with the most fantastic excuse I've ever heard in my life, especially from someone who proclaims he never makes excuses. Deontay Wilder is blaming his loss to Tyson Fury on the outfit he wore into the ring.
Restrictive.
The outfit he chose, which he claims weighed 40 pounds and tired out his legs. Wilder told Yahoo, quote, "My uniform was way too heavy for me. I didn't have the legs from the beginning of the fight. I didn't think it was going to be that heavy. It weighed 40-some pounds with the helmet and all the batteries," unquote. All the batteries,
that's
I repeat.
So great.
Wilbon, two questions. What in God's name was that costume, and are you buying this excuse for Wilder?
I got to tell you, so when that part comes on, he's walking into the ring, and we've seen all kinds of extremes. From Mike Tyson with just a towel
That's right.
over his head, which
right.
is just fearsome and great.
Right.
I know how much you loved that.
Loved it.
But people coming into the room, you know, in chariots and being carried in and costumes, I looked at this and I just thought, the only thought I had was, this is insane and it's got to tire him out.
Really?
I didn't know it was 40 pounds. But it looked, the
what contraptions. What was he supposed to be?
I thought it was a ode to Darth Vader. I wasn't quite sure.
Okay.
As it turns out, it was something about Black History Month. I get this. And they showed all kinds of stuff. And the lead-in was fantastical. And then you saw him working his jaw when he took the headpiece off. And I'm thinking, oh, this ain't good. I believe this. I don't believe he'd get knocked out anyway. Trust me.
Okay.
But
right,
was
right.
this a 40-pound uniform? This is insane.
Okay. So I've been watching boxing probably for 60 years. I don't know when it became Halloween. This is not a fashion show. You are not a runway model. If you pick this outfit and you're complaining about 40 pounds of batteries,
great.
You're an imbecile.
Great.
Let's go back to Tyson for a second. Tyson came into the ring, took a towel, ripped it with his own head. When the bell rang, Tyson ran across the ring and knocked somebody out because he wasn't tired from having to take off something to weigh 40
pounds. But you can grant him, and it's his own fault, 40 pounds is going to tire you.
Why'd you put it on then?
I don't know why you put it on.
That's the dumbest thing I ever heard.
It's
and by the way, that's not why he lost. He lost because Tyson Fury knocked him around.
Wouldn't it be great if the next time he comes in with nothing and knocks Tyson Fury out?
Good, that'd be fine.
Then we can see it was the costume.
That'd be fine.
See, you didn't watch all the lead up. You missed all that.
No.
You just fast forwarded the DVR
right.
to the round one. That's not good enough. You got to watch the whole thing.
Sure.
Joe Burrow is back in the news for essentially no good reason other than the people in Indianapolis at the Combine need something to talk about. So far, no matter how many times Burrow says he's okay playing for the Bengals, and he did it again today when he said, "I'm a ball player, whoever takes me, I'm going to go show up." Football pundits and know-it-alls everywhere parse his words until they make it sound like he wants to play anywhere but Cincinnati. Tone, you're a parser. Why does nobody believe this kid?
Because this ends nothing. All right? If you want to play in Cincinnati, you stand up and you say this. You don't say, "I will play for whoever drafts me." You say, "I'm thrilled to play for the Bengals. I'm from Ohio. I love the Bengals. Please draft me."
He's done that before?
No, he's never done that.
He has.
No.
He said, "Today I can get home for dinner." What do you think he's talking about? St. Louis?
Wherever he is, he'll be home for dinner. They'll make sure of that. He has not ended.
They're picking him.
He has not ended any speculation that he will refuse to play. He could be engineering for a trade. He's not said I'm John Elway. He's not said I'm Eli Manning. But he has not embraced the notion of playing for the Bengals.
You know what? This is garbage. Because if he walked out there wearing a Boomer Esiason uniform and he could weigh 40 pounds, then people would say, oh, well, wait a minute. If he was serious, he'd be wearing an Anthony Munoz jersey. You know, people have nothing to talk about because they would find an excuse.
Boomer made the Super Bowl.
They would find an excuse. They just want to find an excuse to talk about football. And this kid doesn't stand. You know what I think he does?
Combine,
I think he stands and sneers at people because they do parse. And he says, every turn I've said, I'm fine playing for the Bengals, and it's not good enough for him. And I think Burrow seems like a smart kid, and he's thinking to himself, these people are morons, and I like that about him.
Good for you. I want to read a quote from Burrow. When Burrow's hands were measured at 9 inches, and it was the smallest set of hands in, I don't know, 10 years or something like that, and like it invalidated the 60 touchdown passes he threw for LSU last year, he said, considering retirement, after I was informed that the football will be slipping out of my tiny hands, please keep me in your thoughts. That's brilliant.
That's
and
great.
I love him
and
as
so
a result.
You love him
I
for
love
that.
Him. I do.
But you don't love him because he won't give away all every bit of his, if he has any leverage, and pro football players don't
let me,
have
let me
any.
Tell you something. Let me tell you something. If he doesn't want to play there,
yeah.
and he does an Eli Manning or John Elway, both of whom won
it's
two
fine.
Super Bowls,
but he's not
that's
done
fine.
That.
Not yet. But he hasn't done the other either. Hasn't done
it. And the Bengals have committed to him how?
They have not.
Has anybody come out there and said?
No. No. And they don't have to. And neither does he.
NFL Network is reporting that the Panthers.
You said that with such a sneer.
I did.
Oh, my
like
God.
The Panthers are moving forward, the NFL Network says, with Cam Newton, who played only two games last year as their starting quarterback. Coach Matt Rhule, however, told reporters today at the Combine that he absolutely expects Cam to be on the roster in September. But the new coach stopped short of saying that Cam will be the starter. Newton, in a video on Instagram, asked pointedly while doing a plank, quote, all I want is a little commitment and you can't give me that, close quote. Tony, parse that.
Do you ever do planks?
Oh, sure.
How much can you do?
Don't tell me you do planks. I don't believe
I can do 5 minutes.
You're going to say you're lying?
No, I can do 5 minutes. Ask Kellen. I can do 5 minutes.
All right.
5 minutes.
I'm going to find out.
Should I parse this? This is very, very simple. This, what has happened today from Carolina to Cam Newton is sort of like Joe Burrow saying, I'll play for whoever drafts me. It's a lukewarm thing. If Carolina wanted Cam Newton as its quarterback, what Matt Rhule or Tepper or whoever speaks for the Panthers would say goes like this. If he's healthy, he's our starting quarterback. No questions asked. He was 15-1 for us. We want him in the lineup. They didn't say that. And now if you're going to start screaming like you did about Joe Burrow.
I don't trust Tepper.
Oh.
He 15-1 didn't happen
that's
on
right.
his watch. So
that's right.
I don't trust him.
So have they made a commitment to Cam Newton?
No, they haven't.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
And by the way, I believe, and this is total speculation, that when Cam Newton is doing that plank and he says with some bass in his voice, all I want is a little commitment and you can't give me that.
Can I just?
That is a direct question being posed to his new coach and his new owner.
I'm just going
to
tell you that plank shows him just his shoulders. He could be on his knees. He could maybe not be doing that plank, just in case you want to know that. I've changed looking at football since Andrew Luck. I know you like to say all the time you can't even breathe on a quarterback, but quarterbacks get hit.
They do.
Cam Newton got hit. Andrew Luck got hit. Robert Griffin, it's his own fault, but he got hit. Ben Roethlisberger gets hit. Matthew Stafford
gets hit. Russell Wilson
gets hit,
though not as much as he because of his athletic ability. They do get
so
hit.
So sometimes things change. I'm stunned that it's only 5 years since he was 15-1 and went to the Super Bowl. I never thought they'd walk away from him. But it wouldn't surprise me if they walked away.
You know what?
Wouldn't.
There's some people that will take Cam Newton if they think he's healthy.
Sure.
There are.
There
should be.
I would think there's 15 teams that would do that. The Chicago Bulls, they're 20-38.
Almost as bad as the Knicks.
If the playoffs started today, the Bulls wouldn't be anywhere near them. They lose a lot of games by a lot of points. And still their coach, Jim Boylan, is repeatedly calling timeout very late in games that are lost. Boylan, whose record in Chicago is 37-79, thinks these are teaching moments. One of his players, Zach LaVine, has appeared irritated at these timeouts. Wilbon, should Boylan stop doing this?
Tony, I don't know. 80% of me thinks he should. I was just watching a game. I've been in Chicago for a while and watching a lot of games. And a couple of times late in the game, he just threw me off. I got the clicker ready to go to whatever's next on the basketball menu. And Boylan calls timeout with like 20 seconds to go and they're down, you know, 14. And you see the camera catch players going,
what is
again?
He doing?
No, they know he's done it.
Right.
Or the other team, the opposing team's radio or TV people are saying, we're trying to get a plane here and this dude's calling timeout. On the other hand, it seems sort of logical to say, I don't want to just practice these situations in practice. I want to try them in a game. Does that make no sense? And you just throw that out?
It just seems to me, and I'm informed by what happened with John Beilein at Cleveland, where very early on, the players seemed to sense, he's not a pro coach.
Right.
What is he doing
That's
here?
Right.
And he lost them very
That's
early
right.
on. Now, Boylan's been in the league.
Yep.
But this seems like high school stuff on some level. If you're down 8 or 10 and there's 30 seconds to go, these are pros.
Right.
It's over.
You're not fooling anybody.
You're not going to win anybody. Coach him up before you get to that circumstance.
Yeah,
and if you get a player revolt, when players make five times what you make, you lose.
This is the second time there's been sort of a revolt, because there was a revolt at the beginning. And then Boylan seemed to win them over, and they almost all started this season. I remember talking to a couple of guys, and they started saying, "You know, no, we're with him. We're going to give him every chance."
Are they still with him?
Not this part. Not this thing.
And the Chicago Bulls have become an irrelevant franchise.
They have.
You have to attract free agents, and if you have a coach down 20, calling timeout in the last 30 seconds,
you're not getting anybody for real. Not for real.
Let's take a break. Coming up, does Zion deserve to be the marquee star in tonight's matchup with LeBron?
And was Tony's fave, certainly mine, Joel Embiid, wrong to flip the bird at Kevin Huerter?
How's that thing on your head? You still got it. It's a new bandage today, huh?
Yeah, you like that?
Well,
skinnier
did
bandage.
Did you put it on? Your choice?
Yeah. I took it off, looked at the cut, and went, oh my God.
Yeah, let's put it
on. Maybe I should get one of those.
It's time for Toss Up, also known as Tony Time. Let's get the first one from the producer over the loudspeaker.
Toss Up, they play tonight. Who are you tuning in for, Zion or LeBron?
So the sad news is I won't be tuning in.
You'll be tuning in for neither.
It's a 10 o'clock start.
10:30.
But if I were tuning in,
10,
I would be thrilled that both were there. But to actually honestly answer this, I would tune in to see Zion play against LeBron.
Okay.
LeBron James is the greatest player in basketball.
Yep.
Even if you think Antetokounmpo may be right now, you would concede that the magnitude of LeBron is greater.
Overshadows everything and everyone.
And I would think that Zion Williamson has literally dreamed about this moment. And I want to see what he does against LeBron more than what LeBron does with him.
This, to me, has a direct analogy that I remember going to watch. This is like, are you going to tune in to watch Allen Iverson or Michael Jordan? Well, at that point of their careers, where Jordan has already won everything in the world there is to win, or it was in
For Iverson.
It's for Iverson.
Yes.
And it's for specifically, like you said,
that's how I feel.
Iverson against LeBron, which in the back,
right.
I'm sorry, Iverson against Michael, which in the backcourt we actually got to see. So for me, I'm going to watch, and it's going to be Zion, because I'm going to see LeBron a million of the times this year.
Next.
Toss up, they play tonight. Who is this game more important for?
It's the main
Bucks
one.
Or the Raptors?
It's the headliner, right?
So
here.
This game is in Toronto, so Toronto should have a home court advantage. Toronto has won 17 of its last 18 and gained one game. Gained one game on Milwaukee. Milwaukee has been that great. I think that Milwaukee tonight is the second game of a back-to-back on the road for Milwaukee. They were here in D.C. last night and had to go to overtime.
Had to go to overtime
to win.
Bradley Beal.
To me, Toronto must win this game. I think this is more important for Toronto, because if they lose this with a tired Milwaukee team, it says something bad.
I like that you're setting up the conditions of someone who's observed the league forever and ever. I'm going to go the other way.
Really?
Yeah, Tony, Milwaukee's got to prove they can beat Toronto. Because they didn't do it last year. And I'm going to tell you something. I know the odds makers may say this, and you may wind up watching all the shows, and they may say, well, Milwaukee, because Antetokounmpo's the MVP. All that can be true. But I got to see them beat Toronto.
Okay.
I mean, specifically Toronto, not anybody else, Toronto. And you mentioned how hot Toronto is.
I don't think they will tonight, because it's the back-to-back on
the
road. That's all I'm saying. Next.
Toss up. Whose side are you on? Kevin Huerter? Or Joel Embiid?
It's a setup.
Okay.
It's a setup for you.
So this happens late in the game. Embiid is dribbling out the clock. Herter steals the ball. Embiid gives him the finger.
How many points does Embiid have? Just refresh my memory.
He got 49.
Okay.
Even though the game was out of hand, he was continually taking threes at the end. Look, I would even side with Embiid on this because it's sort of a high school move. But what Embiid does throughout the game, when he puts his hand to his ear, when he says, come on, come on, cheer for me, Embiid makes his own rules as he goes.
Yes.
So I liked that Herter did this, and I'm for Herter, even though Embiid has right on his side in this particular account.
Look, you can't – Embiid's in a very difficult situation. First of all, anybody's in a difficult situation being a star in Philly. It's just hard. You know, next time we have Charles on, we can ask him.
How about Julius Erving? How'd he do?
Is that the one example you got? Is Julius Erving?
Julius Erving.
Because you know what? They would have booed them except, they won every game, so they couldn't boo them.
Yeah.
But they boo these guys. They boo Embiid. So on a night where he gets it going, he wants to hear it a little bit. You want to take it out on him for
every
that?
Every time Embiid makes a basket at home, which is the only place they win, he says, cheer for me.
Well, he should.
Next.
Last one. Toss up. The NFL players and owners meet tonight. What's more likely? Deal or no deal?
Deal is more likely, and the reason is simple. The executive committee went 6-5 against, but 6-5 is a coin flip.
Okay.
If the executive committee had gone 10-1 against or 9-2 against, and it had been declarative, I would say no deal. I think the executive committee is expecting a deal. When they asked for the owners to show up and the owners said they would show up, I think that means they're ready to deal. They want a couple of concessions, a couple, whatever they are, and then they're going to sign a 10-year deal. That's my feeling, that all the owners really have to do is just be nice and you'll get a deal out of this.
You're asking these owners to be nice?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Because they want 10 years.
Because I covered the league when there was replacement games. So I'm not going to be quite as benevolent about the owners
of the NFL. What is more likely, deal or no deal?
No deal.
Ooh.
17 games. I think there are enough players out there with influence.
Right.
Richard Sherman. I think Richard Sherman makes
more money than
the players. That's not the point. The leaders always make more money because they're older and better and they make more money.
And the rank and file wants money.
The rank and file always wants money,
Which is why there'd be a deal.
But this 17 game, they know the owners are lying. Every time they go to a microphone and they say, we just care about your health and safety. It's a lie.
Right.
Players have to see through that.
So could you,
I think there'll be no deal immediately and then they'll get a deal after some more table time.
There's going to get a
deal. Yes, of course.
That's it. Let's take one last break, but still to come. The Yankees take a big hit to their starting rotation.
And how did Paul George get away with this travel?
Travel.
Three, four, five. Boom.
Only six steps.
I was just glad they
were
all
allowed to have that many steps
last night. All the Clippers. They were all out there.
We're anticipating the end of the show.
What do you mean?
And we're going to talk about the Clippers and the Grizzlies.
I'm just saying.
We're anticipating.
Glad to see all the Clippers.
That head is like a turban with that thing.
Yeah, well, it's going to be up here for a while, too.
Yeah.
Cut's bad. I need a cut man.
Happy time, people. Happy 26th birthday, Fred Van Vliet. Van Vliet was undrafted out of Wichita State, made the Raptors squad in 2016, averaging just 3 points a game.
Killing people now.
Since then, he's become steadily more important and more productive. He has essentially taken DeMar DeRozan's role for the Raptors and is now averaging 18 points a game and 7
killing
assists.
People.
And in an odd way, the champion Raptors, without Kawhi Leonard, are the surprise of the NBA season.
They're my favorite team in the league this season. I mean, you can't think they can't add no one and get the production they're getting out of every guy. So fun to watch.
Give Nick Nurse a raise.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Happy anniversary, Jerry Jones. On this day, 31 years ago, you bought the Cowboys
for
$140 million. While $140 million sounded exorbitant in 1989, that franchise is now viewed by Forbes magazine as the most valuable in American sports, valued at $5.5 billion. And so much of that is due to Jerry Jones. Wilbon, you were there in Dallas the day Jones took over.
Stunning day, Tony. He got rid of Tex Schramm, which was shocking. Then we all wonder while we're standing there, will he talk to Tom Landry? And then Jerry Jones said, here's my new coach.
Jimmy Johnson.
Get out.
Worked out.
The hat. Get out.
Happy trails to traveling for Paul George. George took 5 or 6 steps without benefit of a dribble last night on this dunk.
One,
27
two, three,
point
four,
win over the Grizzlies.
4 steps.
Beyond this ridiculous play, what is notable about the game is that last night was only the 5th time all season that the Clippers were completely healthy and playing together. The Clippers are 5-0 in those games, and this is why, despite being in 3rd place in the Western Conference, if they are healthy for the playoffs, the Clippers are likely to be the favorites in the league.
Tony, about the favorite, because people want to look at the Lakers and Milwaukee. But I just think I picked them at the beginning of the season. But they got to be healthy and out there and not just going into the playoffs. They need some time to marinate, don't you think?
Well, they're 5-0 when they're all together.
Yeah.
Anybody else 5-0?
Formidable.
Just let me know. Nope. One omission, Ben Simmons will miss at least 2 weeks with nerve impingement in his back.
No.
Again, gabapentin works on nerves, makes your nerves feel good. Let's go to the big finish.
Let's do it.
Yankees starter Luis Severino out for the season to have Tommy John surgery. Your thoughts?
So this is bad because the big Maple's out too.
Yeah, for a month.
So you think they can get it together?
They hired Gerrit Cole.
I know, but it's a lot of pitching to be missing at the start.
He can win 20 games.
Ian Rappaport says the Patriots are going to meet with Tom Brady's agent at the combine. What do you expect?
I expect the agent to say, what wide receivers are you going to sign?
A lot of draft somebody.
When you sign these wide receivers, then you can talk to Tom because he needs somebody to throw to.
He does.
Sabrina Ionescu became the first college hoops player of any gender to amass 2,000 points, 1,000 rebounds, and 1,000 assists. That's a big deal.
She's a talented young woman, and she, as we know, is inspired. And that counts. It does. Bradley Beal scored 55 in a loss at the Bucks after 53 the previous game. You got to be impressed with him.
I'm very impressed. The sad part about the pattern is the teams lose all the time. The Wizards lose. They're 1-8 when Bradley Beal scores 40 or more. They fall back early. They come back, then they lose. Last one, number 4, Dayton and George Mason tonight. You smell an upset?
Is Jim Larrañaga walking in that gym?
I don't think so.
In Fairfax?
I don't think so. I got to reach back and get this flag. We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time. And I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, Knuckleheads. You can get the PTI podcast on the ESPN app.